The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the home of Cape Championship Wrestling. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Welcome to PWU, the number one wrestling podcast in Southeast Missouri, Southern Illinois, Western Kentucky, and parts beyond.
The Heartland,
the Midwest. And by the way, Midwest, thanks. That's
for bringing us amazing wrestling, Cape Championship Wrestling.
It's a godsend. And you're here with us on a great night for Pro Wrestling Unscripted because we're ready to start the healing on what an awful Raw it was. Can we stop? Doing this bit?
I get it.
You're the only one doing it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So we got a lot of good stuff to talk about tonight. We actually do. We're going to talk about Billy Corgan, more TNA drama. We're going to talk about Hulk Hogan. Haven't talked about him in a while. And of HBK back in WWE as of sorts. That's a term. But before we start that, we got to talk politics. And I'm sad to say that yesterday the unimaginable happened. Rhino did not win a seat. And unfortunately,
that's a good thing. That means we get the tag team for longer.
Yeah.
Beauty and the Man Beast on SmackDown.
Yeah, no, he did. He failed. And I've seen a couple posts that said that he won. So I looked it up myself. And Rhino himself said, no, we did not win. Mm-hmm. Was very gracious in his loss. And if for one, it's just amazing that a wrestler would run for office. I know that seems crazy considering Jesse the Body Ventura obviously was the governor of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And was the governor of Minnesota? Yeah. Yeah. That's the
and
term
I mean,
I'm looking for.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was in a wrestling ring once or twice.
And he was the governor of California. And now, you know, and I'm not going to make any jokes. This is the only reference you're going to hear tonight. But legitimately, a WWE Hall of Famer is now the president of the United States, or will be the president of the United States come January. And that blows your mind right there.
Yeah,
think of the absurdity of that statement, that a WWE Hall of Famer is going to be president.
There's like a Facebook post that went viral. It's just like he's the first president to have ever been received a Stone Cold Stunner.
Took it like a champ, too.
No, he didn't. He took that terribly. It looked awful.
And if there's one thing that annoys me is the fact that Donald Trump has a ring and Owen Hart doesn't.
Well, that's for a completely different reason.
Oh, yeah.
Reason,
but I'm just like, oh, man, he has one. But
yeah, it's coming.
It has to be.
Well, they did that Blu-ray
and it's, set. And at this point, it's not even WWE's fault.
No, oh, it's definitely Martha.
They've reached out so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's another story for another time. But no, I just want to point out that, unfortunately, Rhino did not win. Good news for us, because that means maybe we'll get to see more Rhino and Heath Slater. He won't have to go and do office things.
Mm-hmm. Which that is crazy to think that he would try to be running a... Because he wasn't running for governor. He was running for like a mayor.
Mayor,
was,
I think, yeah.
So it's like he's trying to run his mayoral campaign.
In Michigan, I want to say, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, yeah.
Because he's from Detroit originally, I believe.
I think so.
Or that area.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just build him as Detroit because... Like how it's always, no matter where anyone's from in Missouri.
St. Louis.
If they're from St. Louis or Kansas
City. Or if you're
City.
From Japan, it's always Tokyo.
Yeah.
State representative is what he's
okay.
And it was Michigan though, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was Michigan.
But so
yeah.
He's running that campaign, but also appearing on
Raw or SmackDown.
On SmackDown pretty regularly. Yeah.
Yeah. Where would you rather see him? Obviously, the man, everything I understand is the man's very intelligent would be a great, representative. And I think that's cool. But at the same time, he's a good wrestler, too.
Oh, no, yeah. Personally, I would rather see him in WWE, but only because I actually don't know any of his, like, policies or politics.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm sure I'm not saying that he wouldn't be unintelligent, but, like, I don't know.
Right.
What
you don't
supports.
Know what
like,
he's
can
about.
Be very, you can be very intelligent, and also I not agree with your stances on things, so.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
That happens a lot. But one thing we can agree on is that he is the oddest shaped person in WWE.
You know how old he is?
I think he's like 46, isn't he?
41.
Oh, really? Well, you know, we were looking it up earlier today, and I was like, because
Undertaker.
How old's Undertaker? 51?
He's 51.
Yeah.
And in my head, I thought he's got to be at least 60.
Oh, yeah, we were both like, oh, no, he's probably like pushing 60. Like, I gave him like 57.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh, well, when you do that to your body for this long.
Yeah.
And just the sheer size, like, your body breaks down quicker.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, trust me, I know. By the time I'm 51, I'm basically going to be gelatinous goo. I'm just going to be in a wheelchair rolling around everywhere.
No, you'll be in a jar by then.
Talking smack. Move on from that. Let's start the show off by speaking of performances and my own performance in a wheelchair. Later on in life. Let's talk about HBK.
Yeah.
That's happy, right?
Allegedly.
One eye's looking at you, maybe. One eye's looking at Rick.
Well, I mean, let's see how you look when your face goes through the Jeritron 5000.
That's just desserts for putting Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window.
Very true.
That's what you get.
Faking that injury against Batista.
Chris Jericho got
him a smile.
Mm-hmm.
Got him in the long con.
It's like, I'm Virginetti said no one ever until just now.
But so the HBK news is that so Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Sean Waltman did the Kevin Gill podcast. I didn't listen to the full interview.
Did not realize that the crumpling of this water bottle as I drank it was going to be so loud. I'm so
don't
sorry.
Worry. The Kevin Gill podcast had the same crumpling from their old decrepit bodies.
Oh.
Hey-o.
That's sad.
No, that was just a fact.
But the but Kevin Nash said, I don't know if anyone other than the two people with me know this, but Shawn Michaels is now the new head trainer at the WWE Performance Center.
Wait, is that replacing Matt?
See, and that's
Matt
the thing
Bloom
is,
was his name, I think.
A couple weeks ago, yeah, it's Matt Bloom. A couple weeks ago, they announced that he was moving to Florida to start working at the Performance Center, but his job title was never like he was going to start lending a hand. It almost felt like it might have even been part time.
Yeah.
WWE hasn't made a press release about it or any sort of statement about his actual job title. I'm willing to bet that he probably isn't replacing anyone. Especially with the good work that Matt Bloom has done, especially coming out of the heels of how terrible and disliked Bill DeMott was.
Yeah.
Everyone there does nothing but praise Bill DeMott.
Just say Albert.
Matt Bloom.
Just say Albert. For people that don't know, it's Albert.
Albert, Lord Tensai. Yeah. Giant Bernard.
Yeah. I love that name. Giant Bernard. That's just so good.
But so,
he's
no,
big and huggable.
It doesn't look like he's, replacing him. I wouldn't imagine that they would just replace him. The thing that I read on Reddit is someone had a theory that he may just be taking over like Triple H's day-to-day role. So Triple H can start being more active in the actual like Raw SmackDown shows. Yeah.
Is that something we want?
I mean,
is that something it's necessary at this point considering he came in, laid out Seth Rollins and has had nothing to do with it since.
Yeah.
If Shawn Michaels is going to be there, and it's strictly because, and I don't want this because of how good Regal is, but I would love for like Michaels to be the commissioner or the GM of NXT if it wasn't for the fact that Regal was there.
And
I think
Regal
does
such a good job with
it. Yeah, if it was still like JBL, because that's who it was before Regal, mm-hmm. I would be like, oh, please make him the on-air.
I mean, JBL did a good job too.
No, the three times he was there.
I like JBL. I always have. Mm-hmm.
No. I'm not insulting him. I'm just saying he was never there. He was too busy doing SmackDown to do it. It used to be Dusty Rhodes, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And then the whole authority angle at the beginning of it, whenever it was the Rhodes against the authority and all that, that's whenever JBL went in because they were like, oh, no, Dusty, you don't get this anymore, and they gave it to JBL. And then JBL got replaced by Regal.
And Regal does a knockout job, even though he could probably still be a very good wrestler, too.
We were talking about that watching it because it's just like him standing there glaring at Samoa Joe. And it's just like, oh, I want to see that match.
Yeah. I've always been a huge Regal fan.
Oh, yeah.
Ever since WCW.
It's such a shame that, and he'll be the first to admit that, you know, all of the stumbling blocks in his career were his own fault and his own doing. And it's such a shame. Because
it is. Especially, but, I mean, all right, I don't want to get on a huge William Regal thing here, or Steven Regal, however you know him.
He deserves it, so it's fine. I'll allow it.
If you look at his WCW stuff, mm-hmm. which was fantastic and limited in what it was, though, because he was basically just, he was the gimmick character. He was the rich guy. He was the rich British. You know, look at me with my fancy jacket.
He had a tag team partner called Terrorizing, who would later become Triple H in WCW.
He was also tag team partners, but was it, was it Gentleman Chris Davis or?
Gentleman Chris. No.
Chris Adams.
Are you sure? That's the guy that trained Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I think so.
I'll look it up.
Look it up real quick. Yeah. But of course he had that great WCW run as the gimmicky heel character. And then he had that infamous match with Goldberg where, depending on who you ask, because this is when Goldberg, and I'm directing this to Allie because I'm sure Dalton and Ace already know this. You know who Goldberg is, obviously, now.
Yes.
When he started in WCW, he was a three minute match. He would come in, demolish the guy and leave. So he goes out against Regal. And depending on who you talk to, Regal was either told to do this or went into business for himself and stretched Goldberg out to like 6 to 8 minutes, really exposing Goldberg as a new guy that didn't know what he was doing.
And this was in the middle of the Goldberg goes out, punches him twice, spear, jackhammer, leaves.
Because he went 100 plus an 0. They were doing this streak thing.
It was like 167 or something like that.
And then
Are you talking about the Blue Bloods and David Taylor?
Dave Taylor.
Squire David Taylor. Because I knew David Taylor. Like, I was thinking David Taylor because they, not to interrupt you, but they reformed that tag team in WWE and they were part of that giant ladder match tag team.
The Raw one?
I don't know if it was a Raw one or not, but I just remember them being reformed and they were forced to go into a tag team ladder like warfare with like the Hardys, and I think Eminem. I don't know if it was that exact match, but
well, because that one would have been Hardys, Eminem, and greatest tag team ever, because that's whenever Hoss...
World's Greatest Tag Team, yeah.
Oh, yeah, World's Greatest Tag Team.
But, yeah, it was one of those, like, just, like, and because they were so angry, because it was so out of their element.
Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah, yeah. That was, that's when they were, yeah, you're absolutely right on that one.
But yeah, so he, and then just exposing Goldberg as, like, oh, so, you're maybe you're not this ultimate badass, which he still, which he did the correct thing, in even though he kind of, and the reason that he might have been told to do this is because at the time, allegedly, Goldberg was starting to get very much an attitude.
The big head.
Like, he the ego, like, okay, well, I'm doing nothing but winning and steamrolling everybody, so I get to do what I want backstage, which did not go over very well. Yeah. So people didn't know if it was William Regal as just kind of the locker room leader, took it upon himself to do it, or, which he wasn't really even the locker room leader, but just as a veteran.
Yeah.
To disrespect, being disrespected by this young up-and-comer, or someone in the locker room told him to.
And they know.
But then he did, in the end, he actually, he did, you know, do the correct finish to the match and lost to keep the streak going.
Yeah. And then, like, Regal's also the same guy that anytime he was in a tag team, even, and he was always in tag teams in WWE for the most part, was in silly tag teams with Tajiri and Eugene.
Tajiri?
Was he, did he team with Umanga?
Umanga, oh.
What? I'm sorry.
Also, I want to point out, I don't know why I was obsessed with Gentleman Chris Adams, but I'm like, I know there's something involved. And reading his history, he was in WCW, and he was supposed to be a part of the Blue Bloods, except he disliked Regal so much that they couldn't get along to the point that they couldn't work together.
Was I right about the Stone Cold thing?
Which one?
That he trained Stone Cold?
The Chris Adams?
Yeah.
I don't know if he did, because... Because
the gentleman, like, whoever trained Stone Cold was the gentleman. That was his gimmick. It may be a different gentleman, that, but...
It might be because, I mean, he died in 2000.
But yeah, so
overdosed. Oh, no, I don't want to read this story anymore.
And Steven...
Sad story.
And Steven Regal, was that WCW or WWE where he was the man's man?
No, that's what I was getting
WWE.
To.
That was WWE.
That was his first gimmick in WWE.
That's
he
right.
came in as the man's man, Allie, which is what every woman aspires for their man to be. You know the Old Spice guy?
Uh-huh.
Total nerd compared to the man's man, the real man's man, William Regal.
And
he grabbed...
No.
He squeezed the orange and got his own orange juice from it.
Mm-hmm.
He walked out with a hard hat.
And he was basically the brawny, like, paper towel man.
Yeah. But he was this
with a hard hat.
Yeah, well, but he's this, like, British guy, too. That's the funny part. And do you remember the song still?
He's a man. Such a man.
Such a man.
One of my favorite moments in WWE is he had a match against Daniel Bryan, who he did help train, on, like, Superstars or Main Event or something, on his birthday in his hometown. One of those things may not be true, but it's one or the other. And so he comes out to his normal intimidating, like, because he did eventually become Sir William Regal.
With that badass music.
That awesome, just that driving. Just,
that durr.
Oh, it's so good. But so he comes out, and then, like, as he's, like, halfway down the ramp, the music stops, and his man's man gimmick kicks in, or the music kicks in. And he just says, he stops and just, like, looks around. Daniel Bryan's dying in the ring laughing. He just starts kind of chuckling. And then the music finishes up as his normal theme, but he has to, like, walk in because he's just that angry looking, just because he was
Sourpuss,
such a
yeah.
bad guy. He always yeah. walked around like he smelled something terrible.
He did. He had that look, that British
just
look.
That, I'm so above everything and
that
everyone
yes,
about this.
Look. Yes. You know? My favorite moment from when we were going to hate that we're talking like he died, but I have to say.
No, we got
to
give him credit now because, like,
someday,
he deserves it so much.
There was a match between him and the Godfather. And I'm not going to repeat everything that was said.
Oh.
I think Dalton knows where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
He had a match with, he was supposed to have a match with the Godfather. And the Godfather, his gimmick was that he was a pimp. And he brought ladies of the night, hoes or prostitutes to the
AKA,
ring with him.
Not just ladies. He brought his whole hoe train.
The hoe train.
You guys are not saying it properly.
Well, go ahead.
Well,
no, I'm not going to do it. My voice isn't going to do that today.
Well, you jump aboard the hoe train.
Yeah, oh, God, it was the dumbest thing in the world.
But the fans ate it up like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So he has a match with William Regal. And it's when he was doing the man's man gimmick still. And he offers Regal, he says, I'll tell you what, if you don't fight me, you can have the hoes for a night. And Regal says, okay. So then he grabs the hose. As he's leaving, the Godfather says, I'm surprised, something to the effect of, I'm surprised you took the deal. I thought all British people were, you know what expletive I'm going to say.
Because
to which point, yeah. William Regal stops and runs in the ring and fights him. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that you can't get away with saying that stuff on TV now. And thank God.
Right. We should be like, okay with it.
Anyway, getting off the William Regal love for, but oh, he's so good.
Yeah, so unconfirmed rumors of Shawn Michaels, with a,
I'm sorry.
Authoritative role at the NXT Performance Center.
Which there's really not many people I think better suited to teach the superstars of tomorrow. And I know that they have other trainers there, but I really feel like most of the trainers they have there are not, maybe not indie guys. But they're guys like, you know, Billy Gunn training there.
Right now, it is Matt Bloom, well, Terry Taylor, and Scotty Too Hotty are like the three big ones.
Scotty Too Hotty just started too.
He's a pretty new one.
And that's a good one too, because Scotty Too Hotty's another guy that deserves way better than he got.
Yeah.
These guys, what really frustrates me about wrestling sometimes is that these guys work so hard for so long to be good, and it's the dumbest thing that gets them over. Like with Scotty Too Hotty,
the worm.
His finishing move was he would hop on one leg and he'd hop as the crowd goes W-O-R-M. And then he would do this thing where
he would just do the dance move, the worm.
Yeah.
And then he did like to the left, to the right, up. And then he did, and it was just a falling like
chop
to the neck. And then they were laying down.
But
it was the people's
over,
elbow,
like,
but way more elaborate.
Yeah. I'm about to say people's elbow.
But it got him over like crazy.
Yeah.
And that's what he'll always be remembered for.
Mm-hmm.
But like they need somebody like this at the Performance Center because they had a glaring hole whenever Dusty passed away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dusty was the one that worked promos with him. He was the one that worked the ring psychology. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of Dusties left in the world.
Well,
you know what we do have? Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, and it's something to be said that there's a lot that Matt Bloom can teach you. There's a lot that Sarah Del Rey can teach you.
Oh, yeah, and I'm not discrediting them.
No, absolutely, but there's a difference between a Matt Bloom and a Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that they need more of those really, I don't want to say legendary trainers in there.
Iconic, like the people
Like Sting would be an amazing trainer.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
I loved Sting. I loved the Crow gimmick. But I don't know if I would ever really put him like even in the same category as like a Shawn Michaels.
I wouldn't have.
Like he was capable of having really good matches, but like I saw someone somewhere compare him to like the John Cena of WCW. And I would almost disagree with that because like I have like and will continue to defend John Cena as a great wrestler.
Yeah.
And I just don't like Sting has had some great matches, but I've never really seen him as a great wrestler.
I mean the comparison that they made on the network whenever they did the Monday Night Wars is they said the two people that would never leave, which was Sting and Undertaker, which I have no issue comparing.
I don't think you can say Undertaker because Undertaker was in WCW.
Well, yeah, but
I think you mean Shawn Michaels.
No. In the
Shawn Michaels never went to. He never jumped ship.
Well, no, but in the Monday Night Wars thing, they said the two like franchise players throughout the Monday Night Wars was Sting and Undertaker.
Well, I think the problem. All right, we're gonna get a whole thing here, but I think the problem with.
Sorry.
Oh no, you're fine. there were so many franchise players in WWE, especially at that time, that were WWE stars that they made. Versus WCW, which only had a handful of stars that they made. And you look at the Stings and the Ric Flairs. And even Ric Flair is kind of iffy.
Because NWA.
And then WWF even. You know.
WCW, WWF, WCW.
There was Goldberg, which, you know, full circle. Goldberg was one of those homegrown guys. But WWF had so many amazing talents. So I think Sting absolutely belongs in the same level as a Shawn Michaels. Or
iconically, yes. I just mean strictly like
in-ring action.
What they can really teach them.
Well, that's like, I think Hulk Hogan would be a great teacher. Because, I mean, you have to have some... Wrestling is just as much theatrical as it is in-ring talent. And who better to teach theatrics than Hulk Hogan?
Cause today, no.
Sting.
You think Sting would be better?
Because
today,
Sting's
yes.
Sting's character has evolved so many times.
Whereas Hulk Hogan
was just what color he was wearing.
Well, Hogan was lightning in a bottle too. Like you can't replicate.
Oh yeah,
Hulk Hogan.
and you would. And honestly, like I don't think there's really a place for that. Like that super just crazy over the top.
Because even
like,
when they
loud nothing. Because like look at the NWO promo, that first one where Kevin Nash and Scott Hall and they're laid back and they're calm and cool and
Hogan cuts
and then Hogan comes in and just create like it's and they're like, dude, you're killing the entire vibe of what we're trying to do, but that's all he can do. So,
but he did it well.
Yeah, and that's kind of like to the Shawn Michaels thing. Like, I don't think there's anyone better to teach like ring psychology, but at the same time, like Dusty's promo was a mile ahead of Shawn Michaels.
Oh yeah.
Well, see, Shawn Michaels in his heyday though, especially during that heel run right before his match with Stone Cold at WrestleMania.
Oh, his back injury. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right before he left. Mm-hmm. His heel work was just unparalleled. He was great. So amazing at getting people to hate him. Mm-hmm. The Shawn Michaels that you have seen since he came back, as good as he was never the same Shawn Michaels that he was before he left.
Whenever he wasn't in DX, I always loved his mic stuff. Whenever he wasn't in DX was amazing.
He was a good guy, but an amazing bad guy.
And that's kind of why I think, like, I'm assuming that William Regal has more of a role other than just NXT.
Oh, well,
GM,
yeah.
Because, like, that's someone who can teach you how to work a crowd into the palm of your hand.
Yeah, there's not many people that can do that as well. Daniel Bryan, I think, is a guy that could teach you how to work a crowd with just the slightest mannerisms.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, who else can work a crowd as well?
Did you see the video of do you want to see the face of instant regret? The little clip of The Miz from Talking Smack? Where he's doing the, like, he's mocking Daniel Bryan by doing the yes motion, and then he does the no motion, and he's just clearly getting annoyed at whatever Daniel Bryan's saying, so he does it again, he goes yes, and no, and then he leans forward and then does, like, the jerk-off motion.
Oh, the jerky-jerky?
He does maybe, like, an up, a down, an up, and then he just kind of puts his hand on his face, and his eyes get kind of wide, and he starts shaking his head, and it's either the, oh, I should not have done that, because I'm on camera still. And then he's like, oh, I can just play it off. He's like, no, I don't agree with what's going on here. It's amazing. I'll pull it up after.
How about somebody that could work in the performance center? And I mean, and I'm going to say it, you're going to roll your eyes and because we know it won't happen.
I'm just going to close my eyes now so you can't see it.
But Punk.
Oh. Oh God. Did I make a noise?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No, like he would be.
No, you're right. Punk can work a crowd like not many other people can do.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping hope against hope that at some point, CM Punk can bury the bad blood between him and WWE and work with them in some capacity.
I think he will too
eventually, because time heals all wounds. It really does. Look at people that you see in WWE now that you never thought you would see again. Bruno Sammartino, Bret Hart.
That's exactly what we were, because we drove up to St. Louis together, Dalton and I, this past Sunday. And that was one of the things we talked about, is it's like, especially if Punk's entire beef was with Vince McMahon, like, oh yeah, that, like, it would absolutely happen. But it's with Triple H. But at the same time, like, honestly, like, I feel like with the work that Triple H has done with, like, Warrior and Sheik and Bruce Sammartino, I feel like they are both going to be able to at some point put aside their dislike of each other for at least something to be done.
And it's also, I mean, it's a matter of people kind of, they grow up and things that seem so important to you at one moment aren't the next.
Right.
You get some perception of what's important. So I hope so. I hope so. Mm-hmm. Can we do a segue?
Yes.
A classic Shannon segue. Speaking of perception of another wrestler, Booker T's perception of James Ellsworth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that? Do we have that quote pulled up?
I can find it real quick.
Because basically what happened is Booker T was doing an interview and he was talking about James Ellsworth, who we met a week ago and seemed like the nicest guy in the world. Yeah. We hung out with him a little bit, took some pictures.
Close personal friend
of the show. Yep. James Ellsworth, he's up there with
fellow WWE superstar. We're just knocking out the roster at this point.
We got James Ellsworth and we got Xavier Woods. And then we have the entire CCW cast except for the oldest toddler.
Nope.
And Hot Wheels.
I'm trying to find. No. So many things are happening.
Why do you. I sell it
because
you say.
Because Billy Hills likes cars and he.
Oh, so here we go. An hour ago, Kevin Nash said that he's the new head trainer, but WWE has confirmed that Matt Bloom is still the head coach.
Good.
So it looks like it's kind of that news that we talked about a couple weeks ago of just Shawn Michaels joining.
And good that he did too.
Oh yeah.
So okay, I found it.
Yeah, the quote. Okay, so Booker T says some things about James Ellsworth that I think is, I don't know, something about it strikes me the wrong way.
It's kind of long, but I can run through it real quick. It's old. I'm tired of seeing James Ellsworth. This kid has had one hell of a run, but send him back to the independents. I've seen this guy at a convention. I was appalled. But this guy is going to live this run for quite some time. He's probably getting a good price out there on the indie show. They're probably bringing him in as an attraction, but the thing of it is, me personally, I'm not a hater, but you must ride it for as long as you can. Look at Hornswoggle. He worked with WWE for 6 to 7 years. You can't hate people like that, but you wonder how James Ellsworth fit into the WWE mold. It just makes you wonder. There are people in my reality of wrestling just scratching at the door, so when I see Ellsworth, there's just got to be a way, but you have to wait your turn, but it's definitely getting a little old.
So Booker T doesn't sound like a big old fan of James Ellsworth, and I think that's really sad because, again, we met James Ellsworth. The dude has been doing this for a while. He's successful in the indies, mm-hmm. and to hate on a guy who's made it up to the big leagues like that, because you think his act is getting old. You, the man whose claim to fame now is saying shucky ducky quack quack.
Yeah.
As you sit next to Geriatric Park Jerry Lawler.
And if you're going to start talking, and if you just want to drop Reality of Wrestling, which they do a good show, you know what? Maybe you should stop doing pre-shows for pay-per-views and be with your trainees.
Well, and I'll play devil's advocate here because I kind of, like, I do think the biggest part of that statement is he's jealous that this guy's getting a shot that his guys should be getting. And I don't know if that just means as an attraction, because that's what James Ellsworth is.
He is.
James Ellsworth, and I think we talked about this with, like, Jason and Lee when they were in.
Yeah.
Like, he's not – that world championship match that he got against AJ Styles, no one thought for a second he was actually going to win.
Right.
At least win the championship. He is an attraction. He's just kind of this, like, look at this guy. He clearly doesn't belong here.
Yeah.
But
he's got no chin. Look how little he
does. Yeah. And they kind of, and it's almost, to me, it's borderline bullying, but he seems fine with it. So whatever.
Well, yeah. Oh, it's like when you have, like,
not bully, exploitive.
Yeah. Like say, Bertha Faye, when she was wrestling. The joke was that, hey, look at the trashy fat woman. Mm-hmm. But she went along with it. The crowd reacted to it.
But so with Ellsworth, I will say, like, SmackDown has done a good job of keeping it from being, like, shoved down your throat terrible.
Yeah.
But they're riding a real fine line because, especially since they've signed him to a contract, I do think the less we see of him regularly, the better. But I think that's strictly just to preserve it. Because when you have him up there doing something goofy every single week, it is going to wear out. That might just be Booker T. Like, okay, maybe it's just worn out for him, which is fair because you're starting to kind of see that a little bit online. Like, some people are still really high on him. He's still getting really good reactions.
Yeah.
But I don't
know.
He's
the mascot for Survivor Series. For Team SmackDown.
Which, even that is just like,
But, you know, what's funny to me is he criticizes it for, you know, wrestling reality.
Reality wrestling.
Because his boys are scratching at the door wanting to get a shot in there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, wrestling is, again, it's half of what you can do in the ring and it's half of what connects with the crowd. A great wrestler might not connect with the crowd. Whereas James Ellsworth, who, again, doesn't have the look of a WWE superstar, has made that connection. Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan didn't have the look that WWE wanted, but he made that connection.
And
you can't fault him and say, well, these guys deserve a shot because look how good they're doing. That's fine.
Right.
But if they don't make the connection, they don't make the connection.
And I will say,
you have it or you don't.
Because Ellsworth does a great job of connecting with the crowd.
He does.
Like, no one can deny that.
Ultimate underdog,
like that. The any man with two hands has a fighting chance.
It's
caught
a great
like
tag.
A wildfire.
Yeah.
You know, everyone kind of wants to see him succeed. Ish. Like, I don't think anyone's clamoring for him to win a championship belt, but they definitely want to see him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, even kind of, you know, put one over on AJ Styles. Like, oh, that's hilarious because we don't like AJ Styles.
It's like Gilbert. Remember Gilbert was the. Oh, look how ridiculous he is.
It's almost Gilbert, but like serious.
Because Colin Delaney? ECW?
Yeah, Delaney and ECW. That is a perfect example.
Sorry, I had to think about it for a second.
No, yeah. No, that's a perfect example of just that, oh, this guy, you know, he'll never stand a chance at anything.
But Mikey Whipwreck in ECW.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. The difference is that Mikey Whipwreck caught on like fire.
And they put the belt on him.
Yeah. So James Ellsworth, is he ever going to win the world title? Probably not. But does he have a place in wrestling? As long as the crowd reacts and pays their money to see him, hell yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't fault him for
it. And really, it's just so the other thing other than him just trying to, like, plug his own guys, but that send him back to the independents. Like,
that's insulting.
That just sounds douchey.
That's insulting as hell. Yeah. You know, because I know Booker runs his own independent, but you've been in the business for that long. The last thing you want to do is come across as salty when it comes to other wrestlers who have come up from the independents.
Well, like, his independent, though, is a lot like Ring of Honor, where it's just, like, they train there. Like, Ring of Honor, like, Reality of Wrestling, he trains them in Houston, and then he does his own TV.
That's great. That's an entrepreneur right there.
And that's awesome. But if you're that worried about your guys that have a scratching at the door and this other guy is taking their spot, you know, maybe you shouldn't be doing all of your WWE stuff. If that's your concern, that's where you should be at. I'm sorry. And I mean, in Booker T wants to talk about something getting old and something being terrible. I very much remember the racist overtones of WrestleMania 19. He okayed that. Like, he has no place to talk about, like, oh, that's getting old. Be like, well, that wasn't cool back then either.
Or, I mean, if you talk about racial undertones with Booker T, his original gimmick was he and his brother were criminals, chain gang, that I think it was Colonel Robert Parker was like leading.
You are absolutely right.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, Booker T's had a rough ride. And you would expect someone that's come up from that because, you know, they, like you said, that WrestleMania where they pointed out the fact that he'd been in jail when they treated him as a thug.
He
had to scratch and earn his respect. So then why would you knock a guy that's trying to do the same thing? Just because he doesn't have the body for it or the face for it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Moving on. Speaking of a face, good enough. Edge is gonna be on episode 900 of SmackDown.
Yeah.
Yay.
That just got announced yesterday, I think, day before.
Yeah.
So far we have Edge and Undertaker confirmed.
It's like a hot show.
Yeah.
It's nice to see Edge again.
I'm putting money down.
I miss Whitest Kids You Know. It was one of my favorite sketch comedy shows.
I'm putting money down. The Rock will do a satellite.
You think Christian will be there?
Appearance.
He better be there.
More than likely.
I can't, because Edge and Christian, at this point especially, are almost synonymous with
each other. They have to be there.
I'm going to do the Shannon segue now.
What?
So Edge and Christian also they're working on season 2 of the network Edge and Christian show.
Which is really surprising because from what everything that I had heard from Edge, personally when I spoke to him, was that they were unsure whether or not they were going to do another season. One, because of how taxing it is on them. Mm-hmm. And two, just they weren't sure if the network wanted it. Because, I mean, some of that Edge of Christian season 1 was pretty racy. Not in the sense that it was, like,
offensive
vulgar.
Offensive or vulgar, but they talked about stuff. They talked about TNA.
And they put TNA's, like, the name on their graphic.
Yeah.
They talked about the Bullet Club.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they talked about stuff that you would not expect
them
to talk about.
Both of those in the same segment when they talked about will WWE mention it.
Yeah. And I think AJ Styles was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really glad that that show's coming back. A lot of it I didn't find funny because sketch comedy is hard.
Yeah.
I don't care who says it's not. There have been fantastic sketch comedy shows like Mr. Show with Bob and David, my all-time favorite. Mm-hmm. There have been terrible ones. Mad TV, especially in the later years.
What?
In the later years. Yeah. I used to love Mad TV.
Oh.
Sweet
After
baby.
The show. We'll get there.
And then SNL is on both ends of the spectrum. Yeah. Because for every show,
depends
that's brilliant.
Depends on the segment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. Like
there can be great ones. And bad ones in the same episode.
For every David S. Pumpkins, you know, you have a, I don't know, because I haven't
I can't,
long.
There was one that was just like, it was Chris Rock was in it, or they were portraying.
Oh, on Shark Tank?
I don't know if it was on, I don't know which one it was, but there was like a Chris Rock one that just like, was notoriously like, and it was long.
Was it the one where they were in ISIS and they were pitching the idea to the network?
Yeah.
Because I watched that one and holy, we watched that together, didn't we?
The Chris Rock ISIS Shark Tank, which
that
is
that was just uncomfortable.
Yeah, and the live crowd was silent.
The whole show, the whole part. So yeah, sketch comedy is not easy. So for Edge and Christian to be successful at it, congratulations.
And they did have some really good bits.
They also had some really terrible bits.
Oh yeah,
that's like what was that show that Zach Price was a huge fan of?
Total Divas.
Swerved.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that show. That's the dumbest show.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. But
let's take these wrestlers and put them in situations they'll never be in and watch them as they pretend that they know it's not. Yeah. I also didn't particularly find Jackass funny.
Once they switched it from pranking the wrestlers to the wrestlers actually like messing pranking with other, like just other people.
Yeah.
It got a little bit better for me.
Yeah. There was a clip I saw of Big Show where he's like a statue of himself.
Yeah.
And then he'll like kind of move at people. I find that funny. I always find that funny. Always gets me.
The one that they do for the promo where Big E is doing like, he's doing the medicine ball with someone. He's like, no, really give it to me. And then he falls back and breaks the TV behind him.
Yeah.
Like that. Okay. That's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Yeah. So Edge, hopefully Christian, cause I like Christian a lot.
Oh yeah. Christian's awesome.
I always I'm always the weird guy that likes the unpopular one.
Matt Hardy versus Jeff Hardy.
Christian versus Edge. Except Marty Jannetty, Shawn Michaels. I really like Shawn Michaels.
Wait a minute. Marty Jannetty wasn't the start of that team?
He surprisingly wasn't.
Did you like Charlie Haas?
Yeah.
More than Shelton?
No. I like Ken instead of Ryu.
Yeah.
You know, Ken was always good. Ken was basically Ryu, but with a sexy blonde wife instead of like.
Hashtag hot Asian wife. Why are you laughing? You're saying that like it's offensive. That's what Carl Anderson says every day.
I know, and that's why it's funny. Like I wasn't like it wasn't the.
It's
offensive.
Not funny. It's jelly. Get some peanut butter for that cracker.
That for some reason sounded offensive.
It really did. speaking of offensive, Billy Corgan's out of TNA again.
Yeah. So like, there's
for real this time.
No, but like, well. It's less maybe. That, like, he's out of TNA, like, because clearly when he's in the middle of the lawsuit, like, he lost that lawsuit for the restraining order, so he's now officially been, like, bought out, but the problem is he still hasn't been paid. He went on Twitter, like, 3 consecutive days, like, okay, so TNA's supposed to pay me today, the next day. So they said that they were totally gonna pay me, but they couldn't find me.
What?!
And then the next day.
Did they look at the obscure section of the record store?
And then.
Oh, I regret that one.
I mean, it's. And then the next day it was, so 2 days ago, TNA was supposed to pay me. Now, Dixie owes me $2.7 million, or I can take this like 36% of their stock and I can do whatever I want with it, which includes sell it.
To?
A certain Connecticut Titan is, I think, the way he worded it. So,
Mr. Meek Man.
The only other thing he's posted about is Anthem, the company who swore in front of a judge that they could pay him, having not paid him, and the fact that now they're talking about how they're, you know, taking over TNA's monetary investments, I guess.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if TNA's ever actually paid him yet. It just keeps getting weirder
that
and weirder.
That story is just getting sadder and sadder as the week
goes on. It's a Saturday Night Live bit that goes too long.
It's basically, so it's Ghostbusters for Bob. Because that's what he said about the new Ghostbusters. That was an SNL bit that went too long. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the saga of TNA needs to come to an end. And I don't mean that in the sense that they need to lose their jobs. It's just something needs to happen to get this thing under control. Let these people do
Dixie
what they want to do.
Away from Dixie is what needs to happen.
Absolutely.
It just needs to get away from Dixie.
Billy Corgan was the best option that they had. And you saw what they did to him.
Right.
What Dixie did to him.
Yeah.
Dixieland is crazy over there. I don't know what's wrong with me tonight. By the way, I keep coughing. Either I'm coming down with something or I'm going to have acid reflux at the yin yang because I have this burning feeling in the back of my throat constantly. I'm really scared about how tonight's going to go. So
it's probably that second one.
Thank you.
You need to get some Zantac.
I took some Prilosec.
There you go.
Before I came in. And Viagra.
Why?
One would help with the other.
Why?
Why is she laughing?
I don't know.
She doesn't even know
what's
what that,
the next story, Shannon?
She doesn't know what that stuff does. All right, next story. Tom Phillips joins a 4-man SmackDown team. I said it with a question mark on the teleprompter.
Yeah. It's so dumb. So,
well, a 3-man commentary team is dumb generally.
It can be. Like,
I liked it on Nitro.
There have been good ones. There have been good ones. I actually, you won't hear me say this often, but I liked the team of, I think it was Cole, Lawler, and Coach.
Mm-hmm.
On Raw?
Bischoff, Heenan, and who was the third person there?
Not Shivani.
Shivani, Heenan, and Mongo McMichael. I liked them. I don't care. I'm a
Why
Mongo
can't
McMichael
I think
fan.
Of the guy
Fight
who
me.
Did TNA for so
Mike
long?
Mike Tenay.
Mike Tenay. I couldn't think of Tenay. So
TNA?
And honestly, like, I'm happy with the Corey Graves, Brian Saxton, Cole that we have now. This is the most I've enjoyed a Raw tag team in decades.
And I think
or
part
not
of that,
Raw tactic, Raw commentary team.
Part of that is because I think Cole can finally do actual play-by-play,
yep.
Which he's good at.
And
Corey Graves can be the sharp-witted, you know, bad guy. And Byron Saxton is the sweet, naive idiot.
Yeah, he can chime in every once in a while.
He's the child.
But
I don't like him. He's mean. Shut up, Saxton.
So now the SmackDown announced team is going to be Mauro Ranallo, JBL, David Otunga, and Tom Phillips. And that makes just no sense
That's
to me.
That's way too much.
Dalton and I were talking about this earlier tonight, and what needs to happen is put Otunga back to work as a lawyer. Just get him off TV, off microphone. Put Saxton onto SmackDown, and then put Phillips on Raw. So we get Corey Graves, Tom Phillips, and Cole. And then
I like David
Ranallo,
Otunga.
Saxton, and JBL.
I like David Otunga.
Then get rid of JBL.
Yes. Happily.
I think we talk about this every week, but like, remember when everyone was clamoring for JBL to come back to commentary?
Yep.
We were desperate for JBL to come back to commentary. And then he was on commentary for like 3 weeks.
And
we were just oh no.
All right, make me a deal. We'll take David Otunga off the announce team. Mm-hmm. Keep him at ringside.
Shirtless.
And just in
and
a Speedo.
Oiled up.
Yes. Oiled up, just flexing while they do the commentary.
Just give them a little picture-in-picture. Just instead of
he
the
can
WWE.
Translate their words through interpretive flexing. Because I don't know, Allie, if you know this, but David Otunga has the body of a god. He is a modern-day Adonis.
Well, this is going to be in my search bar now.
Yes, it is. Like it wasn't before. Come
Not
on.
Otunga.
Don't lie to yourself.
Speaking of changes, let's talk about Survivor Series. Got some changes to talk about.
Lots of changes coming from Survivor Series. One of the biggest, the two biggest ones are from the Team SmackDown team. And, they announced two new matches. The first match they announced is Sami Zayn defeated Rusev. So he could be the person who challenges Dolph Ziggler for the IC title.
You know who should do that is Stephanie McMahon because she's the one that beats all the men.
You know who should do that? Who knows? A mystery because it's an open challenge. That's part of the appeal of having an open challenge.
Is that not anybody can show up?
Yeah. Not having two people have to compete for it and then, like, I'm super excited for a Sami Zayn Dolph Ziggler match. I think that's going to be an amazing match, but I would have loved that to be a surprise.
Yeah. How about the other one though? The big one. To me, it was a surprise. Unless this was already announced, in which case I apologize.
The one to the Team SmackDown with, since Baron Corbin was kayfabe injured, storyline injured. By Kalisto.
Which was a great segment, by the way.
It was really good. Kalisto look so legit.
Oh, yeah. Savage
I'm
AF.
I'm so excited about, like, because when I heard that he was off the team, I assumed it was just going to be like a, so the week that they announce he's on the team is also the week we start getting these vignettes about, I don't need anybody. I don't do this for the fans. I do this for myself. Only me. So I'm going to get put on a tag team with four other people to fight for the pride of my brand.
For the good of SmackDown.
That's so stupid. I hate that. I've always hated that. But so, I assumed he was just gonna be like, yeah, I don't need this, bye. But instead, Kalisto comes back after being injured by Baron Corbin, storyline, and takes him out.
Which also made sense because he was gonna have a match with him. Baron Corbin attacked him.
Attacked him before the match really could get started.
Yeah, he sucker punched him.
Yeah.
And so then Kalisto
Which also
just,
looked great.
It did.
Because he was right off of his entrance, so he like, does the springboard over the ropes. He rolls through and then jumps up to go into his pose. But before he even like gets halfway through his pose, Corbin just lays him out with a clothesline.
Yeah. And then Corbin slips on the apron and kind of hurts his leg. And Kalisto just goes after him and tears him
apart.
And then
drop kicks his knee in like a running full speed drop kick onto his knee into the stairs.
It was brutal.
It looked rough.
And then he did a frog splash onto his leg in the ring. It was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
So I didn't know though Baron Corbin's out.
So Baron Corbin is out and Daniel Bryan named his replacement Shane McMahon.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh,
so Shane McMahon is now the fifth man for Team SmackDown.
So Raw's going to win.
No, Team SmackDown confirmed to win because they have
because
to make
now
Shane
you have
McMahon
to make
look
Shane
strong.
McMahon look intimidating for when he wrestles Brock Lesnar.
Yup. He just threw up a little bit on the microphone. Jesse, get some new windscreens.
We just got the new windscreens. It's fine.
Yeah.
But so, and then the third match that got added to Survivor Series was... Brian Kendrick.
Yes.
Versus Kalisto.
You're damn right.
For the Cruiserweight Championship.
He's going to do a good lucha thing.
But there's a condition there. If Kendrick loses, SmackDown gets the entire Cruiserweight division.
Yes. And that's what I was talking about. That's the one I was talking about. Like, now, that is what an insane stipulation to put on this match. Like, from a storyline perspective,
why would Raw ever agree to that?
Yeah. Because what does SmackDown lose if they lose the match?
Well, I guess Kalisto doesn't get to be the champion.
Boo!
But so, this is my one remaining conspiracy theory since everything else has been filled. Now that we don't have a missing tag team from SmackDown, now it's Breezango. They beat the Vaudevillains. So Breezango fills out the SmackDown tag team match.
Oh, and by the way, on Raw, if you saw Golden Truth as a part of it, no, they're not either now because R-Truth
traded their spot for a timeshare to the Shining Stars
in Puerto Rico,
and then Shining Stars beat and then they had a match to see whoever won would be able to be on the team, and Shining Stars won the match.
But so
here's my conspiracy theory. I think Brian Kendrick gets counted out or disqualified, keeps the belt, but then that still puts the Cruiserweights on SmackDown, which would explain why they would have to film 205 live
right in front or
after SmackDown.
Yeah.
Which would be so helpful if they hadn't have sent me a email 2 weeks ago saying that I should watch it whenever they start airing it.
Yeah.
And to be fair, like maybe that's best for the Cruiserweight division because they have been floundering on Raw at no fault
See,
of their
but
own.
But here's the problem though. Raw has 3 full hours that they're already cramming stupid filler into. SmackDown is pretty consistently like
clean cut,
all 2 hours, there's enough there, and there's still a handful of people that you really don't get to see a whole lot of. So now I'm worried that they're just going to do the same thing with Cruiserweight. Like the SmackDown cannot do what Raw does with their Cruiserweights where they keep them as a separate entity. The Cruiserweight division just needs to be completely absorbed by SmackDown. No more purple ropes, no more changing the lighting.
The way that it used to be.
The Cruiserweights are now just members of the SmackDown roster. They are not the Cruiserweight Classic wrestlers on SmackDown.
Yeah.
They are SmackDown competitors. So that way you can have people like, you can have Brian Kendrick have a feud with someone like Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Like, there needs to be that intermingling.
As long as they portray them as legit threats.
As
you
equals.
Know, don't have them just get buried.
Yeah.
I don't want to see, and we talked about this, we don't want to see Baron Corbin
just
tear apart the Cruiserweight division.
Yeah.
Which he might
which
now.
Yeah, especially now that, especially if Kalisto ends up winning the belt. Also, the other biggest problem that I have with this is Rich Swann has now pinned Brian Kendrick twice, but Kalisto gets the title shot.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you're damn right. You're damn right.
He can't handle that.
I'm going to pray on this. And I like Rich Swann. I love the Cruiserweight so much. I want them to have better than they've had on Raw.
Yeah.
And maybe if they go on SmackDown and they're performing in front of a crowd that is there to see SmackDown or Cruiserweight wrestlers,
mm-hmm.
like not just, oh, here's the throwaway match.
Right.
But now it's like you have an hour devoted to these Cruiserweights. Maybe now when you see the Cruiserweights on SmackDown, you'll care more.
Right.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
That when does that happen? That starts...
November 29th?
After Survivor Series.
After the Survivor Series. Coincidentally.
Foreshadowing. Again, why did they send me the email 2 weeks ago?
I want to point out at this point that I love the Survivor Series. It's been my, I believe it's my second favorite pay-per-view gimmicky thing behind the Royal Rumble. There's mm-hmm. always something about the Royal Rumble that I love. And I still love it every year. And Survivor Series was my second favorite. So I am excited about Survivor Series, and I'm glad that we're going to have Survivor Series matches. Because remember when they tried to do away with them?
They just tried to get rid of the pay-per-view itself.
Yeah, and I hated that. Mm. Just like I hate that they got rid of King of the Ring. That's something that needs to be in wrestling.
I mean, they did it 2 years ago, didn't they?
Yeah, Sheamus won.
I'm a sucker for a tournament.
Barrett won.
Didn't Sheamus win 1 year, too?
The one before that.
Yeah.
Okay. King Barrett. Yeah, King Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
King Ben News Barrett.
Yep.
and now I'm sad.
So you got Cody Rhodes' story here. What the hell does that mean?
This past weekend at a show, I don't remember where it's located, but the promotion was called Excite Wrestling. Like the first or second match, the ring broke.
Oh.
Some like huge dude like slammed into the ropes too hard.
Was it Cheeks?
From
TNA?
the ring was broken. So the rest of the show went on after they kind of had to do a long break to try to fix it, which apparently they didn't fix it all the way, but they made it to where it was manageable.
Hmm.
After the show, Cody Rhodes kind of cut a promo and he's like, you know, I've wrestled in front of 80,000 people, but some of the most fun I'm having is here wrestling in a broken ass ring in front of, you know, fans like you. He also then announced that all of the money that he made for posing for photographs and doing autographs and stuff like that, he's just going to donate back to Excite so they can fix their ring.
Oh.
Because it's an up-and-coming promotion.
That's class.
Yeah.
That's
so it's
class.
Just like, oh, you're too good for this world.
He needs to come to CCW.
Oh, my.
Pay for that ring.
I want him. Oh, please.
Well, they got please. James Ellsworth. Who do you think demands a higher price right now, James Ellsworth or Cody Rhodes?
Cody Rhodes. He was in the Bola tournament.
Yeah,
he sure was.
He's.
You know what the original Battle of Los Angeles was?
Yeah, it was a movie.
No.
It was when the United States Army tried to shoot down a UFO over Los Angeles during the war.
No, it was a movie.
Okay, moving on, because he's an idiot. Glasgow. Okay, first off, so I'm at Little Caesars tonight, and we've told the story before on the show about the friend of Zach Price who works there. Who auditioned for me once, and his character was of like the really flamboyant runner, or no, the mentally challenged runner, class act. Well, tonight he had a new character for me, and it was an Irish Santa, who wears the kilts like they wear. And as he's going on, I leaned into Bob and I said, I don't think he understands that Irish people don't wear kilts. That's Scottish people. Speaking of Scotland, in Glasgow.
New day.
Yeah. Apparently there was a Bailey chant. That we were upset about. That's the story. That guy's a moron. And if he's listening to the show, you're a nice guy, and I have fun listening to you. But okay, so Glasgow. I always want to say Glasgow, and I know that's wrong.
Yeah.
Glasgow. During the women's match, there was a Bailey chant that apparently lasted the entire match.
It wasn't
Dalton's
a match.
Not happy.
It was a promo.
It was a promo.
It was a segment.
Because it was the bit setting up for the women's match.
Yes.
And why everyone should respect each other. Well, why everyone should respect Charlotte.
No.
Wrong. The entire segment, the crowd did the it's not the hey we want the Won't You Be My Girl Bailey song that they did at NXT that they've done a bunch before. And Dalton hated it so much.
Dalton, explain why you hated it.
All right, so
30 seconds.
The reason that I hated it is anytime that a crowd decides that they're just going to completely overlap the entire segment. You're not part of the show anymore. You're becoming the show, which isn't what I did not
come here Monday night to watch the Glasgow or listen to the Glasgow audience. I want to know what's happening. They completely derailed the segment. The only bright thing is you got a lot of really good character work from Bailey. Not really character work. She was just really happy that that happened. Charlotte sold it like a champion. Cause like you could tell that she was getting shaken by it in reality. So she just goes full heel. Like she just pretty much becomes teenage girl that's not getting her way. That was the only good thing that came of it. I was so annoyed though.
Your time's up.
So annoyed.
Thank you.
That's the most I've gotten to talk in like a full, full
let's
stream
start
in a while.
Doing this more often. Where I like, well, not with him. Maybe with her. With her more. I didn't see the segment, but I understand your frustration with it because we've said a million times on the show before that the worst part of wrestling are the wrestling fans.
And I disagree with that. Well, I don't disagree with that
with
at
them,
all.
But this, not this crowd.
But this is a different. This is completely different. I would 100% agree with Dalton if they were chanting JBL or CM Punk or We Are Awesome. But this was a crowd that genuinely loved Bailey. And this also, like the rest of that Scotland, that Glasgow crowd did not hijack the show at any point. Like they did not, like they didn't do the super smarky, like annoying chants, stuff like that. Throughout the rest of the entire show. Mm-hmm. This was their one time that they really just were behind Bailey.
This reminds
I don't
you...
think this was because they were just trying to get themselves over or, you know,
interrupt
from the show. Like clearly they were interrupting from the show. And that was the part that like, I don't agree that it was good character work from Bailey because she seemed the most shaken, but in the sense, like I have these lines that I have to say verbatim and I can't and I'm freaking out about it, which is not Bailey's problem. It's WWE's problem for not letting people have more open-ended promo time.
And if I,
but like you said, Charlotte did awesome. She like cupped her ears.
Oh yeah. No, Charlotte was a champion.
Sasha even's like, oh, I remember when you guys said we want Sasha. And then they kind of did, we want Sasha for a minute, but then it just went right back to Bailey.
This kind of reminds you of when Daniel Bryan, remember that segment where they had all the former
champions
the in the ring?
The WWE championship ascension.
Yeah.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
chanted for Brian the entire time to the point that Brian looks so sheepish. And then
Mark Henry raises his arm.
Kind of very, and Bailey is a very similar character to Daniel Bryan. Yeah. They're underdogs. Mm-hmm. They're both too nice. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but that reminds me of, do you guys remember when Lita and Trish were promoing? And this was after Lita was getting so much heckling from the crowd over the Matt Hardy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were chanting, she's the face. Trish is the heel. Yeah. And they're chanting at her that you're a hoe and all these other terrible things. And then Trish gets on the mic and says, like, if you don't stop saying that about me, I'm going to leave, trying to take it off of Lita.
Right.
Yeah, the crowd can really make the show what they want it to be against what WWE decides. That's the first time I've done that
in a long time.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, and again, I think the difference between something like that is they weren't – this is all 100% – in Bailey character. The fans love Bailey.
Yeah, everyone
Bailey's
does.
Not a bad guy, and they're singing that we love Bailey.
She's not a good guy.
No, Bailey, Bailey is the super good. She is the goodest of good guys.
Which means that her heel turn will be so
non-existent.
Sweet. The tears of children will flow.
Non-existent.
Oh.
Ever. She is the one true face.
Turns heel and goes with Wyatt.
the saltiest cub.
Only if she wears the beard.
Bailey Wyatt.
She gets a beard because then she just wants to hug everybody. Would make somehow the only thing that makes less sense than Randy Orton joining in them. But I agree that it was hard to watch in the sense that you're trying to watch a coherent segment. But I put it more on WWE not allowing them to actually just be able to go out there and do their own thing, mm-hmm. as opposed to, okay, I have these lines that I have to say.
Well, not only that, but you want it to be organic. Like, the biggest, what do we have a problem with more is when the crowd's silent and when they're not responding to what you want them to respond to, because mm-hmm. the worst thing that you can have as a performer is no reaction.
Right.
Yeah. So the fact that they're kind of playing along and they're cheering for Bailey, like, I feel like they should embrace that. You know, they should embrace that because you've got these fans going crazy for Bailey. Mm-hmm. Just like when they were going crazy for Sasha, the WWE should have embraced it and they should have ran with it, because if you're getting that reaction, don't squander it.
I mean, they got there eventually.
But then they took it away. Well, they took it away.
But the thing of it is the first time, if they embrace it this time out, they're like, oh, well, that's something we need to happen. The first time that doesn't happen in a crowd, they're going to cut it at its feet.
Yeah, but you got to remember, this was a foreign crowd. This was that crazy crowd. They cheer for people that normally boo. They boo for people that normally cheer. They're just having fun.
Yeah.
Doggle.
So, I mean, I completely understand. I understand, like, the frustration of trying to watch it, but I don't think that this was them trying to.
Speaking of frustration. Speaking of frustration. You know who got real frustrated backstage?
Yeah.
Sin Cara. Because Sin Cara, nope, not going to make that reference. If you want to know what reference Shannon was about to make, message me or email me and I'll tell you. Sin Cara and Y2J got in a fight.
Yep.
And Y2J just seems to constantly find himself fighting other wrestlers at no fault of his own.
Well, so does Sin Cara. Well, so because a bunch of different versions of this story came out. The first one being that Sin Cara knocked out Jericho, which then like Meltzer had a whole bunch of other details, which a lot of people are now speculating that it's because Jericho just went to Meltzer and said this is what happened.
Yeah.
But apparently, according to Meltzer, who has the most detailed account of what happened, it was on a bus ride at this overseas tour, and Sin Cara was apparently constantly making some noise.
Obnoxious noise,
noise, which everyone was then putting in clips of the Dumb and Dumber. You want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? So Jericho told him to knock it off. A bunch of people told him to knock it off. Jericho eventually gets up and goes and like is a little bit more forceful about it. A fight ensues. Jericho ends up biting his finger as they're trying to get pulled up, as they're pulling him apart.
Yeah.
And again, but
from all accounts, Sin Cara is the one that loses the fight. Chris Jericho is undefeated. Backstage.
He's 3-0. You don't mess with Sin Cara. Like, if I'm Sin Cara and Jericho comes up to me and was like, stupid idiot, can you knock it off? I'm in headcanon. He said it.
Mm-hmm. He put him on the list.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He had the list there. He was going to hit him with a clipboard if he didn't watch his mouth. If Chris Jericho came up to me and said that, I'd be like, oh, yeah, no problem, chief. Cause I'm not Goldberg. I'm not Brock Lesnar.
Two reasons you shouldn't pick a fight with Chris Jericho over Sin Cara. Three reasons. One, he's already proven that he can fight because he's beaten bigger people than him. Two, Jericho is so respected. And when you're trying to come up, if one of your elders says, knock it off, you knock it off. And three, Sin Cara is so much smaller than Jericho, which is not something you normally say because Jericho is normally the small dog.
Yeah,
in the fight.
When we usually do these stories, it's just like, how can Jericho
be
that small?
And this Sin Cara isn't like the Unico's not a small guy.
He's not
like,
a small
he's
guy.
He's bigger than Mystico was.
Yeah. But compared to Jericho, he's still, I think on the smallest.
Maybe.
Side. He's not as beefy, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Because Jericho definitely beefed up.
A little bit.
And Sin Cara now has to take anger management classes.
After he was kicked off of the bus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, apparently he was ejected from the bus for the remainder of the, I don't know if it was the remainder of the trip, the remainder of the tour. I don't know how that worked out at all.
Thankfully,
but
I know for a fact that they did have a lawnmower there, and he did get where he needed to go.
He's not one of the Mexicools.
See, Dalton was looking like, oh my god, that's offensive. That was a WWE story.
No, you're being offensive, though, because Hunico came out on the lowrider bike.
Oh god, he really did.
Oh yeah. Oh no, oh, and he came out on the spokes of the lowrider bike.
Oh yeah,
because Camacho was the one riding it.
Oh, and also happy 46th birthday, Chris Jericho.
Happy birthday, yeah. Chris Jericho. We know you're listening, friend of the show.
Yep.
One last thing before we get out of here. Well, actually, come on. Anger management. That's funny.
Yeah.
Because
he also was in that fight with Simon Gotch a couple weeks ago, which apparently, but everyone seemed to think that was Gotch's, was the one who started that, so.
Maybe not now.
Yeah, who knows?
Sin Cara definitely doesn't need any strikes against him. He's not exactly irreplaceable at this point.
Oh, especially now that the cruise, between Lince Dorado, Kalisto's back.
Grandma Talik.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he's cranky.
Two fingers. Well, it was two. Now it's just one because Jericho bit the other one. All right. One last thing before we get out of here. I heard about this. You mentioned it right before the show. And Brooke Hogan, the lovely Brooke Hogan, I think she's cute, said that Hulk Hogan is probably going to appear at the next Mania, which is in Orlando.
He's in talks.
And he should be. I think the time of Hogan being blacklisted. No, Dalton's doing the, oh my God,
no,
he's going to say stuff.
No. It's just the time. Like you said, the timing. I was like, yeah, this time in our country, it's
no,
not going to be an issue.
No, he just means that it's been like, what, over a year?
Years.
It's
almost 2 years.
Almost two.
Yeah. And I think Hogan's blacklisting should be wiped away. This is, all right, I'm going to get political for just a second. I'm so sorry, but I have a point to make. If Donald Trump can be elected president and forgiven for something he said on a tape 6-7 years ago with Billy Bush, and we elect him as president, then Hulk Hogan should be forgiven for something stupid he said 8 years ago in a secret tape that he didn't know about either.
And I was actually thinking about that, like at work. I was working on some stuff, and I was like, you know, honestly, it's way more like the Trump thing's way more messed up.
It is.
Like, and it's, and I mean, it's been like a year and a half.
If you're going to have Hogan back, you just have him back.
Especially at Mania in Orlando.
Right.
And
It's a stupid amount of reaction he will get when he walks.
Yeah, because Orlando and Tampa are right there.
But I'm going to give this caveat. Hogan coming out to open the show, perfect.
Yeah.
Fine. I'm fine with it. We all know I'm not a huge fan of Hulk Hogan, the man or the character. That's neither here nor there. Like, he 100%, we all agree, like, it was a way overreaction on WWE's part.
Yes.
And then he deserves his place in history.
He comes out to open WrestleMania as a huge surprise, or is introduced back into the fold as part of a new WWE network initiative by someone like Mick Foley or Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Perfect. If he comes out and drops a leg
on anyone,
he can't, or punches, if he puts Rusev over the top rope, or does anything physical where he gets the upper hand on any current superstar, no.
Disgusting. I love Hulk Hogan the character. I've said it before. I'm not a fan of Hulk Hogan the man, although I think everyone can be forgiven for things that they've done. I do believe that. But I agree 100% that there should not be a repeat of last WrestleMania where
It was the New Day and the League of Nations.
And the League of Nations, after beating the New Day, for whatever reason, is then beaten and humiliated by three.
Stone Cold, HBK, and Mick Foley?
Yep, Mick Foley.
Yeah.
There is no reason that Hulk Hogan needs to come out and fight anybody. One, he doesn't have to. You're not putting Hulk Hogan over. Hulk Hogan is over.
Oh, I just had a vision of him putting Bray Wyatt over the top rope.
Oh, I don't like this. Shut up.
Like after Eric Rowan lost to The Rock in a millisecond and a half.
I don't think they'll do it.
Can you edit that out so that's not in the universe?
No, I can't. No editing on this show.
It's already out there.
Except for very few circumstances. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Hogan is going to be a goodwill ambassador. He's going to come back. He's going to get his pop. He's going to say, thanks for coming to Mania. He may interact with the wrestlers backstage, like The Rock did a couple years ago.
Or like with Warrior was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like he was supposed to be that ambassador.
I don't think he is going to get involved. I really don't. Because one, like you said, I don't think he can.
Yeah.
If anything, he may throw a punch that may knock a wrestler into another wrestler who will then hit him with a finisher. But Hogan himself, I don't think can. And you talked about Undertaker earlier and how big he is and how that can take a toll on your body. Look at Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah, 6'8".
This is a guy that never jumped off the top rope like Undertaker does, mm-hmm. but has had multiple surgeries just for his sheer muscle mass mm-hmm. and what he has done. So I don't think Hogan can do that. But I think if done right at WrestleMania, he could have a good spot.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I don't want to see him in any sort of physical capacity.
Then send him to the Performance Center and have him help teach promos, have him help teach ring psychology. Because, no, you can't say Hogan doesn't have good ring psychology.
I can.
I very well could.
I lose until I have a seizure of strength, and then I win.
But if you can teach another wrestler to have that seizure of strength, and he can get it over... Because
we get another Hulk Hogan, so we have another John Cena and another Roman Reigns.
But the WWE is looking. I don't know what's wrong with me tonight. They're always looking for the next Hulk Hogan, the next John Cena, the next Stone Cold, the next Rock. There's a handful of guys they want the next version of, and if Hogan can, Hogan has so much knowledge, he can give that knowledge to the youth of tomorrow. If nothing else, tell him what not to say on sex tapes when you're being recorded.
How about just not have sex tapes?
Oh, you're one to talk.
And even just the...
Wait, what?
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. So, confused.
And the only reason... Because it's... And I know you're way more familiar with Hogan's library than I am.
I am.
But everything from Hulk Hogan to me is... Every match is roughly the same of... I'm going to use my pull backstage to make sure I come out on top. Even if it means putting the company I'm working for completely out of business once or twice.
Well, that was in WCW. It was different.
TNA.
It was different in WWF, though. I can say WWF that time.
Well, yeah, no, because you'd be right. But you also had Vince McMahon, who was like, whoa, I'm gonna put you over, but here's a warrior.
And then, at the same time, okay, he wants to help with promos. What's he going to tell him? All you have to do is say brother a lot and scream as loud as you possibly can into the microphone.
He didn't scream into the microphone. He got excited. There's a difference. There was a difference. No, Hulk Hogan is a prime example of here's a guy that never needed, and maybe it was the time. Maybe it was the time period. This was the 80s we're talking about. The late 70s, early 80s, mid 80s, and early 90s.
And that's why I said Punk should be the person that teach promos now.
Now, yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? And even not CM Punk, the person who I think would do the most good at the Performance Center right now, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Ooh, yeah. That's another good one.
Yeah.
Cause his promos,
psychology, ring work, everything.
But, and Stone Cold is a lot like Hulk Hogan in the sense that Stone Cold, and I'm getting the sour face from Dalton, but
I think I know where you're going with it.
Stone Cold never had to do the crazy, Stone Cold never had to be Daniel Bryan in the ring to get over. Hulk Hogan never had to be Daniel Bryan in the ring to get over. There is a reason we talk about all of these wrestlers who put their bodies through so much hell, and we've said this week after week, that put their bodies through so much hell to get that pop from the crowd, to get that I deserve a shot. When guys like Hulk Hogan didn't do that, Stone Cold didn't do that. And there's a reason. And if they can teach the wrestlers of tomorrow, even if it's not the same way, but to give them the idea that you don't have to hurt yourself to get over with a crowd, I think that's important.
Which I think that's what Matt Bloom, that's what they're already doing. Like, the style that they're working is a much safer.
And it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and also, you know, you say if guys like Hulk Hogan or Stone Cold Steve Austin can teach the thing that made them so popular, but they can't. Because the thing that made them so popular is this inherent it factor.
That's true. And that's the one thing you can never teach.
Yeah.
That's the worst part about
it. That's why I don't think Hulk Hogan would be a good teacher, is because, like, I'm never going to say that he can't connect with a crowd or anything like that. But the way that he did it was so specific. Because he was Hulk Hogan, it was so specific that no one is going to be able to replicate it, nor should they try.
Yeah.
Because then you just get Mojo Rawley.
Yeah. Yeah, same thing with Macho Man, same thing with Jake the Snake. Yeah. There's a reason the 80s wrestlers are so legendary, despite the fact that they were never, except Macho Man. Macho Man was solid in the ring. He was damn good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean,
Jake
Steamboat.
The Snake was, too.
Oh, yeah. Jake the Snake was amazing.
That's another guy who could do just wonders at the Performance Center.
If nothing else, I think that they should at least have guys like Hogan or Jake the Snake. I'd love to say Warrior and Macho, because they deserve that spot. But have them talk to the youth. And just say, here's what it was like for us. Here's my knowledge. Maybe don't make the same mistakes I did. Jake.
Which, I mean, they're already kind of not.
They're
not,
especially Jake.
Because that's one of the things you always talk about. Ooh, is it's like,
watch Beyond
yeah.
the Mat.
Watch.
What if Zach Price ever got a copy of that? That's a running joke that came full circle. Hunter right now is laughing if he hasn't already taken phone calls.
If he has time to,
fourth wall break.
BRAKE.
All right. Oh no, stairs. We're going to head out of here and say goodnight tonight. That is the show. And by the way, I forgot to mention, I'm Shannon Young. There's Ali A. Bear, Asa Gray, and Dalton Anthony.
I was going to say that. I was like, he never introduced the panel.
Well,
Jumped.
Now we can start the show.
Yeah.
All right. Hour two.
We just jumped into it with our tribute to William Regal.
Sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean it.
No, don't. Again.
Never apologize for William Regal.
If someone deserves us to run on a 20-minute tangent about how great he is, it's William Regal.
Oh. Yep. All right. No. He threw something at me. All right. We're out of here, guys. We'll be back tomorrow with Tanner Thursday. We're going to talk about more Pokemon. It's Pokemon Month of Podzilla 1985. My favorite Pokemon is Machamp. And we'll see you guys later. Have a good night. Dalton. Tell Allie to tell Asa to take us out.
Hey, Allie, can you tell Asa to take us out?
Asa, take us out.
Nah.
Good enough.